time to go into the sermon, a Thanksgiving sermon. You know, it's been 10 years, and every Thanksgiving I give a sermon on thankfulness. And it's getting a little hard after 10 years to come up with new sermons on Thanksgiving. But the title is Walking in Thankfulness. Okay, Walking in Thankfulness. I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago, and this medical doctor, I was listening to a podcast on fasting because God was convicting me again to go back to fasting, do some fasting during the season. And this medical doctor was being interviewed, you know, about fasting. And the interviewer asked the doctor, what other things do you think is important to be happy? And this is from a secular, you know, perspective, the, you know, secular doctor. It wasn't from a Christian point of view. But what he said was to be happy, I feel like, you know, fasting is important, he said. And there needs to be a community, number two. Number three, you need to meditate. And number four, he says, gratitude. Gratitude is very important to be happy. And I was thinking, he was mentioning all the things that the church is called to do, you know, all the things that church is called to do. So we should be the happiest, you know, group on earth, you know, because we fast, you know, we're called to fast. We're called to community, to meet together regularly, but not just to meet together to play games or some activity, but to meet together to worship God, to meet together to encourage one another and spur one another toward love and good deeds, you know. And we also meditate, you know. When people think about meditation, they think about the Buddhists. That's not what I see as meditation. Meditation is prayer, you know. That's meditation. Meditation is meditating on the Word of God. The Bible calls us to meditate, meaning be still and know God in the Psalm, you know. And God also commands us to have a Sabbath rest. I believe that's also meditation. And then again, the fourth thing that he said was to be thankful. And today is a day that we need to remember to be thankful. No matter how you feel, no matter what happened last week, no matter if, even if you got into an argument with your spouse, be thankful. Even in the midst of sickness, let's be thankful. Today's a day to be thankful. The Bible commands us to be thankful. Paul says, I have not stopped giving thanks. I always give thanks for everything. And in 1 Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. Philippians 4, in every situation, pray and give thanks. And how are we going to give thanks? You know, in the upper room, again, I get a lot of conviction for the Sunday sermon during upper room, because upper room is a time to where I seek the Lord, and I seek his revelation and the conviction that he gives me, you know. And the theme for upper room was moving in the opposite spirit. It was moving in the opposite spirit. And what does it mean to move in the opposite spirit? Well, Romans 12, verse 25 tells us what it means to move in the opposite spirit. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay? Do not be overcome by, don't go toward evil, but instead turn around, overcome evil, turn around and go toward good. Okay? So when bad things are happening, and there's a lot of bad things happening right now, right? You know, it's saying move in the opposite spirit, meaning operate in the nature of God who is good. You know, operate in the nature of God who is good. Moving in the opposite spirit is choosing not to respond just to feelings or the circumstances or what other people are doing or what other people are not doing. Moving in the opposite spirit is not, we're saying we're not going to respond to the demonic. We're not going to respond to lies or dysfunction or sickness or brokenness, jealousy, or any temptation that's in our life. But we're going to respond to God. That's moving in the opposite spirit. And you know what I thought? That's a great way to be thankful. It's actually, instead of just saying I'm thankful, that is a great practical way of practicing thankfulness. Don't you agree? Don't you agree? Shake your head. Yes. So this week, you know, to be thankful, not just this should be regular practice, moving always, you know, from evil and moving toward God. That's a practical way of practicing thankfulness. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, because, you know, well, a lot of time the difficulty makes us be outside of the gates of God, you know. And so how do we enter into the gates? It says with thanksgiving. Okay, it's how do you move in the opposite spirit? With thanksgiving, you move toward God's gate when there's thankfulness. How do we do that? With thanksgiving. So let's head toward God's gate with thanksgiving. And we need to, how do we head toward God's gate? We move in the opposite spirit. Okay? We're going toward the gate. We're going toward God's house, God's dwelling. And today I want to talk about two ways we can move in the opposite spirit, you know, because today, you know, we have the board sharing and you know, I came up with like six ways, but it was too many. So I had to pick, two ways to move in the opposite spirit. And two, you know, if I did five or six, you guys will forget some of them, but I think we can remember two, right? We can remember two ways to move in the opposite spirit. Number one, walk in victory, not defeat. Okay. Walk in victory and not defeat. Okay. Don't go toward defeat, turn around, and let's walk in victory. Okay. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 13 says, and giving joyful thanks, okay, it's to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. So in this passage, it's talking about discernment here. It's talking about thankfulness, okay? You give joyful thanks, okay? Moving away from darkness, okay? And into the kingdom of God. And it says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, okay? And I want to speak this truth into you, right? Into your heart. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says this, you, okay, dear children, you're children of God, you're a child of God. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. This verse is talking about walking in victory, okay? Walking in victory. No matter what has been against you, no matter what has been against your work, against your calling on your life, against your family, you know, against your marriage, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world, right? Than the one who is in the world. It seems like, oh, you can't help yourself going the wrong way. No, the one who is in you is greater. It's greater. You can move in the opposite spirit of what the devil wants you to do. Right? 1 John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Right? This is what God's doing. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it to the full. That you may have it to the full. You know, God's people in the wilderness kept wanting to go back to Egypt when it got difficult. You know, a lot of time when it got difficult, what did they say? Let's go back to Egypt, you know. And you know, we could criticize the God's people in the wilderness in the book of Exodus. But, you know, when I look at my life, when I look at people in general, we all have an Egypt that we go back to. Did you know that? We want to go back to. We all have an Egypt that we keep wanting to go back to. And I'm going to talk about three things, three Egypts that we keep wanting to go back to. But if you think about it, why? It doesn't make any sense. But we do. We keep, number one, we keep going back to fear. We keep going back to fear. The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear. Right? The fear is a spirit. It's a spiritual bondage. Why do you want to go back to that kind of Egypt? It's a bondage. You know, we fear people's opinion. There's so many fears that we go back. We fear failure. We fear problems. We fear people. We fear the devil. We fear the future. We fear death. This could go on and on and on. And that Egypt becomes so much more powerful in our life. And it caused a bondage. So that's why people of God, it was a bondage that kept wanting to go back to Egypt. And the list could go on and on. But you got to remember, you need to remember this so that we don't go in that direction. Fear makes us go the opposite direction of God. Okay? It's the fear. When we live in fear, we're living in bondage. When we live in fear, we're living without faith. We're living without faith. And second thing that we keep going back to, we keep going back to rejection. Right? And, you know, when I thought about that, man, you know, I'm just like the Israelite in the wilderness. You know, we keep going back to rejection. You know, we all going to be rejected. We all got rejected and nobody's immune to it. No one's immune to rejection in this imperfect world. Right? It can be rejection from parent, relative, friends, church member. You might be rejecting your own self. You know, this rejection could have happened when you were a child. It could have happened 10 years ago. It could happen today. It is one thing, but why do we keep going back to it again and again and again? We keep going back to our past rejection. Egypt is when, what is going back to Egypt? Well, because of the rejection, we decide to stay in bitterness and unforgiveness. And when we stay in unforgiveness and bitterness, we're in bondage again. Okay, what does it mean to be bondage? We can't go into the direction, the opposite spirit. We can't go to the direction of God. We're in bondage. Where there is unforgiveness and bitterness, the devil can steal and destroy and lie to us. The Bible says it will cause trouble and defile many, the bitterness. Right? There's a third thing, that third Egypt that we keep going back to, and that's shame. That's shame. Right? The devil comes to accuse you, and he will accuse you night and day. Right? Adam and Eve saw their nakedness, and it wasn't a physical thing. It was a spiritual thing that the Bible's talking about, meaning nakedness, they felt shame. Okay, they felt shame. And so when they felt shame, what do? They're not going in the opposite spirit, but they're following shame. They hid. They're letting shame control them. They hid from the Lord. They covered themselves with fig leaves. They went to Egypt. The way we handle shame is we go not the opposite spirit. We hide. We cover it up. We wear masks. We blame. We beat ourselves up. What you're doing, you're taking the steps, you know. Some of you are running to Egypt. Some of you are taking steps to go back to Egypt. Egypt, again, is a place of bondage. Israelite, God's people, were slaves in Egypt. It's a place the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's turn around. Go the opposite spirit, you know, because Jesus comes to us to give us life, life to the full, abundant life. Amen? Well, I'm going to go to the second point, but, you know, I want us to just pray through this. Let's go to the opposite spirit. Psalm 23 says this, okay? Open up your heart. When you move toward God, okay, we're moving in the opposite spirit, and we're moving toward God. This is what Psalm 23 says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My enemies, you know, will have no power over me. Wow, isn't that great? My enemy will have no power over me. The harassing spirit, the spirit of fear, the spirit of depression will have no power over me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Okay, receive this. And Psalm 23 says this. You can't create this. God has to give you this. You anoint my head with oil. There's a spiritual oil that will touch you to the deepest part of you. It will cover you. You anoint my head with oil. Anoint your people, Lord, with the spiritual oil. Release this truth in you. Okay. He wants to anoint you and bless you. My cup overflows. Goodness and love will follow me. And speak this out. This is what Psalm 22 says. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As an act of thanksgiving, let's go in the opposite spirit. God, I come to your gate, to your presence, to your love, to your power, to your protection, to all the resource in the universe, Lord. I come. Your resource. Amen. Amen. Okay. Point number two. Okay. Walk in love, not anger. Okay. Walk in love. If you're getting angrier, you're not going the right way. If you're angry, right? Walk in love, not anger. Romans 2 verse 4 says, do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, his forbearance and patience, now realizing that God's kindness, meaning God's love, is intended to lead you to repentance. It's not the rules and law, but God's kindness, forbearance, patience. And when you put all that together, it's God's love. It's his love that leads to repentance. It is his love that makes us move in the opposite spirit. What is repentance? You're moving in the opposite spirit. That's what repentance means. It's not just feeling bad. You know, it's not about repentance. Is not just feeling guilt and feeling bad. Repentance is turning around. Right? And it's his love that makes us move in the opposite spirit. You know, in Matthew 23, there was a debate Jesus had with the Pharisees. And the Pharisee wanted to stump Jesus by asking him, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And, you know, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 5. It says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the Pharisees, you know, the teachers of the law, you know, agree with Jesus. But Jesus did not stop there, but goes further. It says, a second is equally important. Love your neighbors as yourself. And he quotes from Leviticus chapter 19. What Jesus is saying is this. If you are going to move in loving God, you need to love others. Okay. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. It was easy for the Pharisees to show love by debating the Bible. That's, I think, that, you know, they thought that was a way of showing love. You know, following sabbatical rules, hundreds of sabbatical rules, you know, having that regular time of prayer, memorizing the Torah, you know, fasting regularly and exactly giving 10% for tithe, you know. And what they did, though, without knowing, this is something that we could fall into this trap. We need to be careful. What the Pharisee did was they replaced love with rituals. They replaced love with rituals. Jesus' focus was not how many times, you know, his focus isn't how many times you attend a Sunday service. How many Bible chapters did you read today? How many meetings did you attend? How many hours did you pray? Jesus is asking you and me, are you able to love? That's why you read the Bible. That's why you pray. Are you able to love God? Are you able to love others? Yeah. Or do you have anything in your heart that breaks relationship? And this is my challenge to you. This is a good question. You know, to walk in Thanksgiving, you need to, do you have anything in your heart that breaks relationship right now? We need to go the opposite spirit of that. The problem with following rituals, you can have anger in your heart. You can have bitterness. You could be critical. You could be proud. You can be very judgmental. And this is the great danger of rituals, following ritual. And you feel you are right with God. The Pharisees had judgment. They were so critical, judgmental. They were proud. They were self-righteous. They were self-centered. And they thought they were right with God. You know? This is interesting. This is the passage God convicted me. You know, in Exodus 34, Moses wanted the most intimate encounter with God. So Moses asked God, not just show me your face. Moses asked God, show me your glory. Okay? Show me your glory. And the Lord passes by Moses with his presence. And there, and this was proclaimed. This is very interesting about moving in love and not anger. This is what was proclaimed. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. He goes away from anger and goes toward love, right? And this is what's proclaimed while Moses was having the most intimate encounter with God that he ever had. You know, God shows love and is slow to anger. This is the reason Moses was able to have a powerful encounter with God. This is the reason love is the greatest commandment in the Bible. You know, today's Thanksgiving, you know, is a day to remind us to show gratitude. And today, what I'm challenging you, practically, how are you going to show gratitude? Move in the opposite spirit. So there are people in your life that have failed you. There are people in your life that makes you bitter, makes you angry. Okay? There is someone God is asking you to move in the opposite of anger to love. You could curse that person out. You can reject that person. You can hurt that person. God is asking you to imitate and follow him. Slow to anger, turning away from anger and showing love, moving in the opposite spirit. Okay? So who is that person? I want to go us to go into ministry. Who is that person? What God, you know, you're saying, I'm going to show love. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, this is what it says. This is what you need to show that person. 1 Corinthians 13. What does it mean to be slow to anger? Right? It says love is patient. How are you going to show patience to that person? And it keeps going. God says there's so many different ways you can love. Love is kind. does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. This is a great way to love somebody. Keep no record of wrong. I think that's a wow. You know, I think that's so powerful for marriages. You know? Keeps no record of wrong. Yeah, God, how are you gonna love? Love protects. Trust. But do you know all the things that this person did? No, trust. I'm going to trust. I'm going to make an effort to trust. Hopes. And perseveres. Right? This is the way we could show thankfulness by practically moving the opposite spirit. Going away from anger and toward love. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you minister to your people that spirit of anger that has an assignment over us, over our mind, our emotion. I break its power in Jesus' name. That spirit of anger, that spirit of fear. Because we choose to go in the opposite spirit. We choose to go in the direction of victory and the direction of love. Thank you, God. You're agreeing with me, but I want you to also speak it out. I will walk in the direction of victory. I will walk in the direction of love. I'm going to go away from anger. I'm going to go away from defeat. I turn around. Speak that. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And if you could, we're going to close, but again, Thanksgiving, thank the Lord for your spouse, your child, children. Thank the Lord for your parents, your mom, your dad. Thank the Lord for some of the people that's around you. And let's proclaim. I know there's so many things going on, but we need to be different. Thank the Lord, believing this for victory. Thank the Lord for love. We're going to encounter it. We're going to release it. We're going to walk in it. Yeah. So choose. Make up your mind. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm going to walk in love. Thank you, Lord. And may the love of the Heavenly Father and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit make you and I walk in the opposite spirit. And God's people said, Amen.